In the name of Jesus, amen. The word of God this morning is the story of the conversion of St. Paul. There is scripture reading in Acts. Yesterday was the saint's day for remembering Pastor Timothy. Tomorrow is the saint's day for remembering Pastor Titus. Timothy and Titus, the names which were assigned to the chapel on the campus in St. Louis. I wonder which half is named after Timothy and which half is named after Titus. In any event, today we're going to take the center aisle, as it were, because sandwiched in between these 2 days is the conversion of St. Paul, remembering the pastor and the teacher of these other two pastors, Timothy and Titus. It's as though, even according to the church year, we are trying to keep the students huddled as closely to their teacher as possible. The conversion of St. Paul is another one of those stories in the New Testament where the Old Testament is important to our understanding of it, or even just to get the flavor of what is happening here. It seems as though, with people like the Apostle Paul and other biblical figures, that we speak about them so much on our own terms instead of the scriptural terms, that we expect in this story that Paul's going to get up from the road to Damascus and walk right into the town and order a subscription to the Lutheran Witness. I see this story, and I see how it is imbued with the Old Testament, and I say to myself, isn't this how God has always worked in the past? I think of Abraham, how he was still worshiping false idols in the wrong place, in the wrong time for inheriting the promised land. And it was at that time that he was called to be the father of a new nation. And then I think of the Apostle Paul, how he was still breathing threats and murder against the people of God, and yet he is called upon to be an instrument in the formation of a new nation made up of Jews and Gentiles alike, as a witness who was untimely born. I think of the rich history that leads up to a text such as this. I think of Elijah seeing a manifestation of God, hearing the still small voice of the gospel, which empowers him to be a spokesman for God, to minister even to kings, anointing someone like Hazael, king of Syria, on the road to Damascus. And I think of the Apostle Paul, how he sees the Son of God, how he hears his gospel voice, and how on the road to Damascus, he is empowered to witness even to, as the text says, to kings. I think of the tribe of Benjamin and how it faced total extinction if it were not for the grace of God, and how Paul bears the name of Benjaminite. I think of the prophet Isaiah saying how the child of the virgin is in charge even of people like Rezin, king of Damascus. I look at this New Testament story and I even see the language of the Old Testament. Paul is going after people who belong to the way. That's an expression that was used at Qumran of Dead Sea Scrolls fame. They talked of their disciples as people belonging to the way. And there was a Qumranish type sect at Damascus, only Paul is to teach them about the true way. I think of the double vocative in this story, which evokes feelings of love and sadness at the same time. O Absalom, Absalom, my son, Martha, Martha. My God, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? Radaf, to persecute and to chase after, as Paul is doing in this story. I think of the fact, as Paul tells us later on, that Jesus is addressing him on that road in the Hebrew language, of course. How Paul is chosen, a word that's used so many times in the Old Testament prophets. And he is literally a chosen vessel, another familiar Old Testament expression. The Son of God, a messianic title, a mission that goes to the sons of Israel, of all people. The very way this theophany to Paul is described, how Paul is described as neither eating or drinking, but praying at the same time. The whole thing breathes the Old Testament. And when we look at the Old Testament faith, we can see how the true Old Testament faith was perverted as we look at the elements of this story. I think one of the keys to understanding the New Testament is to know what Paul is ranting and raving against when he speaks against the Jews. He is ranting and raving against Judaism, the perversion of the true faith, rather than the true faith itself. Paul is immersed in Judaism. He's a child prodigy of Judaism. Judaism, with its legalism that takes the Old Testament religion and makes it even better, thus making faith disappear altogether. Judaism, with its zeal for God that becomes warped into this maniacal hatred and cruelty. Judaism, with its avoidance of the word in favor of their own traditions superimposed upon the scriptures. Judaism, with its rejection, its vehement rejection of the Christ. Paul has authority to go around and persecute the people belonging to the way. His authority stems from letters which he holds in his hands. The letters come from Caiaphas the high priest, who expresses the will of the Sanhedrin, the same group that condemned Jesus to death. By the way, this same technique of having letters of authority was to be used later on by the Apostle Paul, coming from Jerusalem, only this time to protect the true believers. And finally, as we look at the Old Testament and then this New Testament story, we see the true faith of Israel itself, which continues through the true Israel reduced to one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ crucified, risen, as Paul sees reigning from heaven, through which Paul is crucified and risen with him in his baptism. You know, people who are raised from death always seem to be ravenously hungry in both Testaments. And as Paul is raised from death in baptism, he goes and gets something to eat. The true faith, the grace of God. As we say, the prevenient grace of God, not knowing what hit him. Paul marvels so much about this that he retells this event on the road to Damascus several times later on. And he tells Timothy, the Lord used me because I'm an example of his perfect patience. If he can save me, he can save anybody. We see the full and free forgiveness, while all the evidence at hand is totally incriminating, as he stands there with his Levite posse and in black and white documentation, the letters of condemnation right in his hand. We see the forgiveness as it is expressed in the words, I have a job for you. Dare we say it? Sanctification? Sanctification in the narrow sense? Paul, the chosen vessel for a mission to the Gentiles, yes, even to Israel, even a word about his suffering that he will suffer with him before he is glorified with him. There is the true faith and the hope that Paul has, which will not disappoint him, which he can now recognize in that persistent vision that he saw Stephen having of the Son of God standing at the right hand of God, even while he is breathing his last breaths. There is in here the sacramental theology, which is at the heart of your pastoral ministry as it was for him, how his receiving of the Spirit is linked to baptism, and equally important to the ministry. Paul shows already on the road to Damascus that he is beginning to grasp the full content of the gospel while he's on that road. How did that happen? Did Jesus talk real fast? Did he perhaps have some cassettes under his pillow at the house of Judas in Damascus? How did he learn this all so fast? The answer is found in Paul's retelling of this story in Acts 26. He quotes more of what Jesus exactly said to him on that road to Damascus. Jesus said to him, "Paul, you will bear witness to me from two different sources. You will bear witness to things you have already seen and from things that will appear to you." The part that he has already seen is the Old Testament. The part that will be revealed to him is the New Testament, much of which was written by Paul's own hand. The full content of the gospel? Jesus didn't have to reveal himself to Paul by talking real fast, because he had already talked about himself real slow. He had testified of himself over 1,500 years in 39 books by our count. And it only took the Spirit of God for the Apostle Paul to say, "Oh, I could have had a Savior." And to go out and immediately confound the Jews by proving that Jesus is the Christ, and he was there in the Old Testament for people to see all along. The holy ministry, the man who knows the grace of God for himself, bearing his cross, living in hope at the same time, mediating that grace to others through the word of the Old and New Testament and the sacraments. Sounds like a winner to me. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.